Everybody enjoy the holiday. Everybody enjoy the conference. Great, wasn't it? Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3. Get this thing turned on. I'll be with you in seconds. It's kind of taking me a while to. I just want to read the first verse of 2 Samuel chapter 3. Now, there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Let's pray together. Lord, we come into your presence in Christ's name. Lord, how thankful we are that all of our salvation is in him. How thankful we are for the revelation of the gospel. How thankful we are for the free forgiveness of sins through what thy Son did for us. Now, Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you'd be pleased to speak to us in power from your word. Oh, that we might hear from thee, the living God. Lord, those that belong to you, we ask that you would give us full assurance of our favor in you. And those who have not believed, we ask that you would reveal to them that they've not believed and save them by your grace. Be with all your people everywhere for Christ's sake. And Lord, forgive us of our sins for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, the verse that I just read, this long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, was not a war between Israel and the Philistines and their false god Dagon, but this was a civil war. That's very important. This was a civil war. And this war goes on within the believer. A civil war. Paul put it this way in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to the other. They're at odds with one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And it is a long war. It is a battle that is never over. As long as we live, we will have this battle to deal with. This long war. The house of Saul, the flesh, and the house of David, the spirit. Turn with me for a moment to Genesis chapter 25. Verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. All of a sudden, there is life. And the children struggled together within her. Now, that word struggled actually is usually translated crushed. They crushed one another. This is what was going on in her womb. These children crushing one another. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? What's wrong with me? You know, this battle didn't begin until she had life conceived in her. And once the life was placed within her, all of a sudden she had this struggle going on. And the Lord, verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people should be separated from thy bowels. And the one people should be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, back to our text. This is typical. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, a civil war. But, now look at the language. David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Now, I find the new man getting stronger and stronger, and the influence of the old man becoming weaker and weaker. I have more power over my flesh by the grace of God, and by His grace I have more victory over sin with this new man. The flesh, my new man, becomes stronger and stronger, and the old man grows weaker and weaker. Is that your experience? It's not mine either. As a matter of fact, I bet some of you are getting scared saying, where's he going with this? Now, if what I just said is the experience of any true believer, not just talk, but I mean that really is their experience, a true believer that finds his new man becoming stronger and stronger and the influence of the flesh becoming weaker and weaker, if that's the experience of any true believer, then something is wrong with me. I'm missing something. Missing something terribly. But I want you to notice the language of this. I want to see if you notice this. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, this civil war. But not the house of David waxed stronger and stronger, but David waxed stronger and stronger. And the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. You see the distinction? David waxed stronger and stronger. The house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Now here is the experience of the believer. David grows stronger and stronger. David is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, as a matter of fact, this word is translated louder in Exodus chapter 19. He becomes louder and louder. If we have life, we see him more and more as everything. And the more we understand of our flesh, it becomes weaker and weaker. The house of Saul, we see more need of our Christ. Now this is, it takes a new nature to see this. It takes a new nature. An old, just like when Rebecca, before she conceived, before she had life, she didn't have a struggle going on with inside of her. There wasn't any problem. But when this new man comes, this holy nature, that's when you have this struggle. That's when you have this fight. And the more you grow, I don't know how else to say this, but the bigger and stronger he will appear to you, and the weaker you'll appear to yourself. Now that's what happens in true growth. You see, in Christian growth, it's always shrinking in yourself and seeing him as bigger and bigger and more glorious and more glorious and more majestic and more majestic. And the more you see him as all, the more you see yourself as nothing. Now, my need of Christ to be all in my salvation grows stronger and stronger. And the view of myself, weaker and weaker. David gets bigger. The house of Saul grows weaker and weaker. Now that is my experience. I don't find my new man becoming stronger and stronger and my old man, just the influences of him being weaker and weaker, and my flesh doesn't have the same experience. Now, I see more of my weakness. It doesn't mean that I'm becoming more sinful. I'm just seeing more of it. That's all that means. The more you see of him, the more you'll see of yourself. The higher view I have of Christ, the lower view I'll have of myself. Now, that's what that means. The house of Saul grew weaker and weaker, but David grew stronger and stronger. Now, the more strong I see him to be, I see him more and more as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I see him as everything in salvation. And I've become more and more convinced of my own personal weakness, sinfulness, and need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my experience. Would the Scriptures hold that up? Is what I'm talking about scriptural, or am I just this really bad person? Well, yeah, I am this really bad person. I realize that. But is this scriptural? Now, you know where I'll go with this. I'm going to go into Romans chapter 7. I never will forget one time someone said to me, you need to get out of Romans chapter 7 and into Romans chapter 8. Quit wallowing in Romans chapter 7 and get into the victory of Romans chapter 8. Now, when they said that to me, this has been a long time ago, I didn't know how to answer it. I thought, well, maybe they're right. You never leave Romans 7 and you never leave Romans 8. There's no Romans 8 without a Romans 7, and there's no Romans 7 without Romans 8. Now let's go to Romans 7 for just a moment, and we can see that this is a commentary on 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. I can't express how grateful I am for this passage of Scripture, but let's begin reading in verse 14. For we know, now let's stop right there for a second. Who's the we? Every believer. Paul is speaking as the spokesman for every single child of God. Same we as we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For we know. We know. This is spoken of in the perfect tense. We know this all together. This is something, there's no maybes here. We know. I love the we knows of the Scripture, don't you? We know. And I can chime in with Paul. I know too. Now look what he knows. He says, for we know that the law, God's holy law, is spiritual. David said, thy commandment is exceeding broad. And I love God's law. And I know that I've never kept one commandment one time in myself. Because the law is spiritual. It's holy. It's reflective of God's character. And we would never speak disrespectfully of the holy law of God. We love God's law. As a matter of fact, he went on to say, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Every believer does. We love God's law, but notice his knowledge. We know that the law is spiritual. And let me add this. Well, it's not really an addition, but let me say this. If you, in your heart, believe that you've kept one commandment one time, you're ignorant of the law. You just don't even know what it means. You ought to ask the Lord to reveal to you who he is. Paul says, we know that the law is spiritual. And look what he says about himself. But I am carnal, fleshly. And that sold under sin means sold as a slave to sin. Now, where does that measure up in your experience? Now, I realize that outwardly, we keep it together for the most part, I hope, outwardly. I hope, you know, all the time. Let's keep it together outwardly. But I'm talking about what you find going on within. Paul said, I'm a slave. Sold under sin. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. I don't approve of it. It's wrong. But what I would never sin again. I would never sin again. I would be perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I would, what I desire, sometimes I don't attain to it. No, that do I not. I just don't do it. But what I hate, that is precisely what I do. Now, Paul is giving his experience, and this is the experience of every believer. Now, verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, here Paul is taking personal responsibility for all of his sin. Every condemnation that the law judges against me, it's all right and it's all good. My sin is all my fault. This mess I'm in, it's my fault. I can't blame God's sovereignty. I can't blame the fall. I can't blame Adam. I can't blame the devil. It's all my fault. Now, if your sin is not all your fault, that means you're blaming God for your sin, ultimately. Now, that's so. My sin is all my fault. I can't blame anybody else for this mess that I'm in. My sin is all my fault. And I consent unto the law that it's good. Everything God's law says is perfect and right and just. And every condemnation of me is right and just. Verse 17. Now then, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now this is the recognition of the two natures. The new man did not do it. The old man did. Now that's what Paul is saying. And I know people will say, well, you're making an excuse for sin. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But this is the recognition of what's going on the inside. Paul said, the new man didn't do it. You see, when a man is born again, born from above, he's given a new nature that comes from God. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Now, can something that's born of God, can something that God made and birthed, giving you his own nature, partakers of the divine nature, can that nature sin? Something that's born of God, can that nature sin? Absolutely not. He that's born of God, the Scripture says in 1 John 3, doth not commit sin. Now, the new man owns the sins of the old man. It's only the new man really that ever truly owns sin in the first place. Nobody else really does. It's the new man that owns the sins of the old man. But Paul says, it wasn't me that did it. It was the sin. It was the old man. It was the sinful nature that did it. This is a recognition of the two natures, the one that cannot sin and the one that all it does is sin. Now look what Paul says in verse 18. For I know. I know too, Paul, but he's speaking as, I love the I knows of the Scripture, don't you? I know. He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh. What's it say? Dwelleth no good thing. Do you know that? Can you say that with the same conviction Paul does? I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You see, you have to have a holy nature to even recognize that. You have to have a new nature to see that. That's why Paul could see this. Now, somebody says, I just can't see this with regard to myself. Well, it's because you only got one nature. If you had two natures, you'd see this. But of course, if you don't have two natures, this doesn't even make sense to you. But it does to anyone who has a holy nature. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now look what he says next. For to will is present with me. I would be perfect. I would honor God perfectly. I would be done with this sinful, selfish, stupid flesh of mine. I would, it's an albatross around my neck. I would, to will is present with me. It really is. Do you want to be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ? Would you like to be done with sin? Would you like to be done with pride? Would you like to be done with self-promotion? Would you like to be done with lust? Would you like to be done with evil desires? To will, Paul says, is present with me. It's there. But look at his confession. But how to perform that which is good? Now he's talking about his performance. His performance. That's what you do. How's your performance? How to perform that which is good? What are the last three words of that verse? That's strong language. He said, I find not. I find not. He doesn't say, I make mistakes, we're all human. He doesn't say, sometimes I mess up. He says, categorically, I find not. Now, this is in my experience. Now, like I said, this is what goes on in the heart of a believer every single day. I find not. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now I can just hear religious people saying to Paul, Paul, you're a hypocrite. That's all you are. You're a hypocrite. If you talk like this, what is salvation? There's nothing to you. I can see a religious person saying that to Paul. But you know how much respect I have for human religious opinion? Zero. I don't care. I don't care if people do say something like that. This is script. We're looking at scripture right now. We're not looking at somebody trying to get on Paul. Like I said, I can see it. And many people have argued Paul couldn't. He's talking about before he was saved. He couldn't be this way after he was saved. Well, let's go on reading verse 20. Now, if I do that I would not, here he says it again. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law. A law. Now, laws are laws. This is his experience. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Do you find that law in yourself? That when you would do good, evil is right there, present with you. Then Paul says in verse 22, For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And you know, I do too. I love the Ten Commandments. I love every one of them. They glorify God. They set forth His glorious character and His perfect requirements. And we love the law of God. We delight in it. I remember hearing somebody say, well, just throw the Ten Commandments in the trash can. Oh, no. Oh, no. We delight in the law of God after the inward man. As far as that goes, I love thinking this way. People say we ought to try to keep the law. I don't try to keep it. I've kept it. I've kept it. That's why I don't have to fear it. I've kept it. When Jesus Christ kept it, I did too, because everything he did as a representative man. I love it when he said to John the Baptist, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. When he fulfilled all righteousness, I did too. So yes, every believer delights in the law of God after the inward man, the new man, the new nature. This is so clear from the scriptures. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members. He's not talking about the law in his members that delights in God after the inward man, delights in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind that delights in the law of God. And look what he says, and bringing me into, what's that word? Captivity. Captivity. To the law of sin, which is in my members. That means I'm in a jail I can't get out of. That's how I feel. Verse 24. O wretched man that I was? No. O wretched man that I am. Here's what I need. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, Paul was referring to the Roman practice of chaining a dead body to a prisoner. Can you imagine how horrible that would be? And that's how he felt about his old nature. It's like a dead body chained to me, and here's what I need. I need delivered. I need somebody to save me. That's what I need. I need somebody to save me. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the one who delivers me. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, that's just the believer's experience. Now, I realize that some would use this as, well, you know, I can't help it, and go ahead and sin without restraint. Some people will do that. I realize that, but I can't change what the Bible says because of what somebody's going to do with it. Paul says in his experience, my new man serves God. My old man serve sin. And can't you say to that, yep, that's my experience. But here is the best part of this. David's going to win. And as a matter of fact, you read through this third and fourth and fifth chapter of 2 Samuel, I think it is the most sordid, seedy passage of Scripture in the Bible. It's not something you'd read to your kids at night before they go to bed. I mean, it's just not. I mean, the stuff that goes on, including with David, that's going to end up bringing him to the height of the throne. But the Lord is overruling it all and using it. And this is David, the house of David, growing stronger and stronger. He's going to be king. And Saul's going to be put out of business. So victory is already ours. Amen.